Happy New Year. Welcome to another episode of Banter on the Box. Today we are joined again by my husband Steve. And today we are going to be talking about Christmas miracles and about being a horse husband.
Hi guys, welcome back. As Sam says, my name's Steve, Sam's husband. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you've had a nice Christmas and enjoying New Year. It's currently New Year's Day. We've woke up to some snow this morning, so we thought we'd do some recording rather than go out and face the snow just yet.
This episode was supposed to be recorded about 2-3 weeks ago, but just life has been carnage with all Christmas deliveries and stuff. So I've not had 5 minutes, which is quite typical of this time of year. But now I've had a week off and I feel refreshed and ready to go.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a couple of different things and just see where it takes us. Hopefully get this up live at some point today.
Before we go any further with the horse husband stuff, because that could get quite entertaining, we'll get the boring bit out of the way. I'd firstly like to talk about two Christmas miracles of my very own, which a lot of you have been following on my Instagram and Facebook with some interest. Just earlier this week, I had the opportunity to ride side saddle again with Boddock this time. That is something that I never thought I would do again after I lost Smurf. So I feel exceptionally lucky to be doing this again. And Steve came down with us and was horse husband. So this ties in well. What was it like to be a horse husband during the side saddle and seeing me ride side saddle properly for really the first time?
I was just pleased it was you doing it and not me, because it doesn't look the most comfortable position. And I think the horse was probably thinking the same thing. It's like, why are you both your legs on the same side, ma'am? You've got me wrong. It's not something that I'm going to try, although I do ride very badly. I don't fancy doing side saddle at all. I'm going to leave that to Sam.
You enjoyed taking all my tack backwards and forwards to the lorry and being the videographer and...
Yeah, that bit's fine. I'm not so keen on the weight of a side saddle. It's anybody that's not carried a side saddle or had much to do with a side saddle, they're so much heavier than an ordinary saddle, whether it be a dressage saddle or an everyday saddle. They're ridiculously heavy. But then they are over 100 years old, and I guess... they're built to last the test of time. I think the one that we've got is somewhere around about 1900.
Yeah.
So it's 125 years old. So
it's a beautiful saddle, which I have on hire from a fantastic instructor. I joined the side saddle area 9 so that I can continue, and I am looking forward to getting fitted out with all my gear again. It's quite exciting, really. Boddock was just the best behaved boy ever, wasn't he? Like, I literally clipped him the day before, having not ridden him for weeks, and I was expecting him to be fresh and a nightmare, but he was so good.
Yeah, he was really good. He traveled down well. He had about 3.5 hour journey down. We stabled him for the night at kind person just up the road from where the lesson was, and we put him in the stable about 8 o'clock at night. Got him out again about 7 o'clock in the morning, and Sam rode him down about 1/2 mile down to the arena where the lesson was taking place.
Trying to get the freshness off and, before the lesson.
I followed down in the van about a minute later and couldn't see Sam anywhere. Thought, how can she be this far down the road? I'm driving the van at 30 mile an hour and I hadn't caught her up. It wasn't until I got to the arena that she's here. She's already there. So it must have been a very fast walk down the road.
It was. He was very fresh. But I think that walk down to the arena did him the world of good and helped settle his mind. I mean, he's nearly 20, Boddock, but he doesn't act it at all. I will include a couple of little videos just now so you can have a little look. It's nothing exciting, just to see what it looks like side saddle without the skirts on and how me and Boddock did in our first lesson. Oh,
got another two coming up in January, haven't you?
I have, yeah, and I am so looking forward to it. And I just want to say on the podcast just now a huge thank you to Side Saddle Area 9 and to Penny Clark for everything. And I am so excited to see you again.
I think you'll be going, I think Sam's going to go herself next time because I'll be working. So she'll have to rope somebody else into doing the videos.
So any volunteers to come down to Edinburgh and spend a night down to Edinburgh with me, give me a PM. Something else that I actually wasn't going to talk about today or at all for a while, but a lot of people have noticed, and I've had hundreds of messages and comments, and I just want to say thank you for all the support, is the fact that in 2024 I lost 7 stone. Now some of you may class it as cheating, but I am taking the weight loss injection Mounjaro, and there is a lot on the internet at the moment, bad press, conflicting information and everything else, and all I can do is speak about my experience with Mounjaro, and that is that I personally have had no side effects. I have taken it religiously and it has worked wonders, as you know, a lot of you have seen with the fact that I have lost seven stone. Now I'm embarrassed that I got to that point in my life where I was that heavy and that fat, but it just creeps on and you kind of sometimes don't notice, and then you get in a bit of a rut and you don't know how to fix the problem. And I tried many diets. It didn't matter what I did, I couldn't stick to anything because I never saw any progress, and I was driving myself insane because I was hungry and I was grumpy and I couldn't eat on these diets. And the Mounjaro has worked wonders for me. Now I'm not promoting it. I genuinely recommend that if anybody wants to try it, or the Wegovy or Ozempic or anything else, you speak to your GP, because that's what I did. And my GP recommended me to a safe supplier, because that is very important, that you get a safe supplier if you are contemplating anything like that. Also, if you would like any information from me about my experience with Mounjaro, anybody can message me at any point. And yeah, like, Steve's seen a massive difference in me, and Steve himself actually took an injection for the first time last week to see if he could just shift a few extra pounds. But you're not having a good experience with it, are you, Steve?
No, obviously with like any medicine or any injection, there is side effects. Sam was lucky, she didn't get any. As you can see, she's done great, she's lost 7 stone, but it's not for me. I got horrible side effects, feeling sick, going to the toilet frequently, sore heads, feel like I've got a constant metal bar in my mouth, it tastes like a metallic taste, so I won't be taking it any longer. So that just goes to prove that it doesn't work for everybody. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't take any weight off me, not that I'm huge anyway, but I just thought I'd maybe try and lose a few pounds because it works so well with Sam. But it clearly, it's not for me, so it's not for everybody. So
but you noticed a massive difference with the suppression, didn't you? Like eating your dinner and that last night, that's the bonus, that's what it does, that's the idea of it.
Absolutely. I wasted probably more than half my dinner last night, whereas normally I'd have eaten it easily. But it does work, it takes your appetite away, you don't feel hungry. And even last night before I went to bed, I had nothing to eat, I just went straight to bed, which normally I'd have something. So you need to try it for yourself. If it's something you're thinking about, it's not guaranteed to be right for you, but you don't know until you tried it.
And that's why you should definitely speak to your GP before you start. And that's why there's several different drugs on the market, because each one could be different for different people. So those are the Christmas miracles that I personally have achieved in 2024, getting back Side Saddle and losing the weight. We can touch upon Steve again with his Willy Wonka, which I will add a picture of after he's had a moment to tell us about it.
Yeah, so during 2024, obviously we're both into our showing the horses in various classes, obviously ridden classes, in hand classes, and much to my dislike, fancy dress. Although I say dislike, it's probably What I've been most successful at this year, I was Willy Wonka riding Boddick, one of Sam's horses, the ones you just mentioned. We will post some videos and some pictures, you'll see them. I was Willy Wonka myself, the horse was the Golden Ticket.
And the Oompa
and
Loompa?
Also the Oompa Loompa. He had an Oompa Loompa costume on the front of his body.
And the year before you won as well, didn't you, with Tommy?
The year before I was William Wallace.
Yeah.
But this year was more successful as I got overall, went to the presentation evening, and in October, was it?
No, November.
November?
Yeah.
Collected two trophies, which was nice. And so they are pride of place in the on the cabinet in the house, and I'll have them for a year. I won't be doing fancy dress again next year. Decided that it's the end of fancy dress. Go out on a high and concentrate more on the serious side of the serious classes and hopefully get into a few more ridden classes with Boddick and eventually Frank. Well, maybe Sam.
Yeah, I think Frank's my horse.
Probably, yeah.
Bless him. He's been doing so good as well, hasn't he? Like, we could touch upon how good Frank's doing. He went to those two in-hand shows, didn't he, at the end of the year, and he just behaved. He was such a good boy, and he won a class too. Whereas, like, a year ago, we would never have thought we could have done that with him or travelled him there.
No, a year ago, he'd have been for sale if it was up to me. I wouldn't have kept him, but Sam persevered. Give him a chance. I'm quite pleased to say I was proved wrong. He has actually came good. I mean, obviously, there's still a little bit apprehension with us both at some points because you never know what he's going to do next. But if you don't know Frank, he's 17-2, ex-race horse. Anybody that knows horses will know what thoroughbreds can be like. And Frank is a typical thoroughbred.
Just needing some time and patience after racing, that's all. Anybody that's had an ex-racer knows exactly where I'm coming from.
Yeah. And obviously, we're just touching on our horses. Obviously, we've got our two Highlands as well. And most people know Tommy because Tommy's now 28. He is retired, other than some gentle hacking.
Semi-retired.
He's not going to do any more shows. He's done that, been there, got the T-shirt, done fairly well. So this year, I'm going to concentrate on my young Highland, Wallace of Craig Nefferty. He's just about to turn two. In February, we had him gelded late last year.
Yeah, we touched upon that in the last episode, didn't we?
Yeah, and he seems to be coming good after being gelded. His behaviour has improved.
It's just a typical colt.
But he's nice. He's a nice looking colt. Obviously now he is. His pinnacle of last year was he got fourth at Blair. So obviously that was quite a big achievement for myself. I didn't really expect to be placed at something like Blair, especially after I've only been shown for a couple of years. Next year, although there's no Blair, it is at Scone Palace. So hopefully if they have showing classes, then we aim to go there and maybe hope for a third this time, or even better.
We can try. We can definitely try. Moving on to the transport, I have had some amazing customers through 2024, so a huge thank you to everybody who has used Highland Equine Transport and travelled their horse with us and supported us. We couldn't do it without you guys, so I want to say a huge thanks. I just want to touch upon a Christmas miracle that we had a couple of years ago. I transported a mare from just outside Inverness on behalf of the SSPCA. She was a welfare case. She was going to be rehomed further north, and unfortunately she was so weak she collapsed in the lorry. Now, normally in circumstances surrounding a horse that weak, I wouldn't transport, but this situation was where I had to liaise with the SSPCA and the charities involved so that I could transport her, and I was allowed to transport her because for her sake, I was taking her out of a situation that was detrimental to her welfare to put her into a better situation. Now, she went down on the lorry and she couldn't get back up. And I dived in the back and moved all the partition as far as I could possibly by myself. It's very heavy, so it's not the easiest task, is it, Steve?
No, it weighs a ton.
We managed to get her back on her feet, but I only managed to get about 2 or 3 miles down the road before she was back down again. So I made a panicked call to Keswick Vets, who were waiting for me upon arrival. So a massive thank you to them for everything. And I'd like to say that she made a full recovery and travels onwards a couple of days later and had a very happy 2 years with her new owners. Unfortunately, Emmy did pass away earlier this year, but she was an older mare anyway. She at least had a good ending to her life, which I suppose, despite it being sad, it was a happy ending for Emmy.
Yeah. And like Sam says, she's just thanked all her customers. And obviously without customers, she doesn't have a business. So hopefully, 2025, we'll see a lot of our regular customers. And hopefully lots of new ones as well.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to meet all of you and your horses. And I'm also excited for the delivery of the new lorry.
Yes, we have a new lorry scheduled to come sometime in March. There is no concrete delivery date yet. Like with most vehicles nowadays, you don't get given an exact date. But we're hoping somewhere between March and April, and it will be on the road. Not taking place of the current lorry, because we aim to keep that as well.
I would like to put a tribute to Smurf on the side of that lorry. We'll see what happens anyway.
It just means that we'll have a backup vehicle as well as the new one. So obviously with any vehicle there can be issues mechanically, so if that happens we've got another vehicle that we can use. So as Sam said, we were going to touch a little bit on the subject of horse husbands. Now just a little bit of background on myself. When I was young, like sort of 10 to about the age of 14, I had riding lessons at a local riding school in the Borders, just on obviously riding school ponies. I rode the Borders Comma Riding in 1986 as a young boy on a hired horse. I'll never forget, it was £30 for the day. I'm sure it's a lot more nowadays. And then after that, I never had anything to do with horses for a very long time until I met Sam. And then she said she's got a horse, and I was like, oh no. And the horse,
it was Smurf, remember?
The horse in question was Smurf. Obviously, most people know that Smurf is obviously no longer with us. We lost him just over a year ago. When you're married to or you're going out with a horse person, obviously the horse then becomes quite a big part of your life, because it's not like having a budgie or a guinea pig or a rabbit. The horses take a lot more care, and obviously you don't keep them in a house, so you've got to go out. And our one horse then progressed to 2 horses, then 3 horses, now 4 horses.
No more though, no more, I can't cope.
So hopefully it doesn't go to 5 horses.
No.
Because if you have 5 horses, that's an odd number, and we'll end up with 6 horses. And it'll just be never ending. So the life of a horse husband is obviously hectic, shall we say, as well as obviously Sam's business. I have a full-time job as well and help Sam when I can, which, to be honest, hasn't been an awful lot lately because I've been busy. Taking up a new role at work myself is obviously keeps me busy. But I'm adjusted to the life of a horse husband, but I've got to admit, I don't like the winter.
Nobody likes the winter. Anybody that says that they like the winter is not a horse person. They don't own horses, they don't own livestock, and they don't have to go outside when it's snowing.
No, I mean, at the moment, obviously, most people know that we are in the Highlands, and we're not renowned for the best weather. I mean, we woke up this morning to snow. It's not too bad, but obviously there's maybe a couple of inches outside.
And that is the reason we're recording inside the house instead of in the lorry again, because the partition was blowing shut, the snow was blowing in our faces when we tried, so I was like, nope, we're just going to go inside and record this.
in the warm. But we've had an awful lot of rain in the last few weeks.
Oh God, yeah, it's and, been awful. The mud is just horrendous.
Our fields are just like a mud bath.
Everybody's in the same position. Everybody that's got horses, livestock, whatever, at the minute will be in the same position. We are wading through knee-deep mud to go and feed them and try and ride them or do anything with them, and it's just not fun.
No, and before I met Sam, I didn't own a pair of wellies.
You own several now.
I didn't have any need for wellies, but now I seem to spend most of my life in wellies, and I couldn't believe how much you pay for a pair of wellies. My last pair were just over £100, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you think, wow, good. I thought wellies were like a tenner.
Well, you can get wellies for like a tenner, but they last about 3 days.
Yeah. Well, I actually had to buy a pair yesterday because my good ones, I decided that they were going to leak.
And they split, didn't they?
They split. And if you're going to be a horse husband, you need to have the right gear, because it's bad enough in the fields anyway in the weather, but getting wet feet, as I'm sure many horse people can appreciate, isn't pleasant. Also, as a horse husband, I think a lot of guys probably don't realise that how much it costs.
No.
It is crazy. If you want anything and it's got the word horse in it, the price just goes up. Like, even if you want to buy a bucket, if you go to the market, you can buy a bucket for $1.99. If you go to the horse shop, it's $10.99. Just because you're buying it in a horse shop. We probably spend as much on horse feed as we do for our feed.
Easily.
And then you've got bills of hay and the cost to rent the fields and the, you know.
It all mounts up, you know. You had a shock, didn't you, when you realised what it actually costs us a month?
Oh, shock.
Yeah.
Nearly a heart attack.
And then with me starting side saddle as well, you were like, oh my God.
Everything you do. And, you know, people see the pictures of the horse shows. They see me at Blair in my kilt and getting placed and winning my fancy dress, which is all great. But what they don't see is us knee deep in mud in the winter.
They don't see the hard work. They don't see the effort that goes into turning the horses out for the shows or anything.
I mean,
but horse people get it. Other horse people get it. They know.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
All of us horsey people are in the same boat. We're all a bit fucking mad. And here we are, just keep doing it because we love the thrill of the show ring for 5 minutes in the summer.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not. Most horse people are totally aware of everything I've just said, but this is aimed at people who might not be horsey and might stumble across our podcast. And what I'm saying is to any men who go out to the pub and meet a girl and she says she's got a horse.
Here we go.
Just be very careful. Get rid of all your good clothes. Don't need them anymore. What you need is an Ariat jacket.
And they're just as expensive as your good clothes.
They are, but you have to have the right gear, don't you? Because even if you don't know what you're talking about, you've got to look as if you do, eh? And a good pair of wellies. Never mind your Nike trainers. You need is a good pair of wellies.
Yeah, your Nike trainers, not a patch on the price of a good pair of wellies.
No, and that's a scary thing. Everything is so expensive. I know all you horse people are totally aware of this.
But it was a big lifestyle change for you.
Oh.
And the dedication you need to be a horse person was something that you've never encountered in your life before.
No, it's massive. I mean, you can't even keep your car clean. I mean,
here we go.
It's just, we've got one car. Well, we've got several cars, but my car, which was my own personal car, isn't allowed to go to the horses because it just comes back looking like a stable and it's not fun. So we have a dedicated horse vehicle or two. He just can't get the hay and straw of it. And I've seen lots of girls, I've seen lots of Sam's friends' cars, and they're all the same, but they think it's normal.
Yeah, Steve can't cope with an untidy car. In fact, when I come back from the horses and I'm absolutely covered in hay and stuff, he'll make me get undressed outside the front door before I step foot in the house, and I'm like, do you know what, like, we can hoover that up.
Yeah, but it's hair doesn't belong in the house, does it?
Yeah, but I don't want to get undressed on the doorstep in front
of
the neighbours.
Not actually on the doorstep. You can come inside the door as long as you stand on the mat. It's
And he's still in the habit of brushing me down at the yard before I get in the car. And you know, any horse person will get this. Like, as much as you might want to keep your car tidy, if you have been outside in the absolute torrential rain and you are covered in mud, you are soaked to the skin, you are covered in hay, all you want to do is get in the bloody car and get out of the rain and be warm again. So you don't bloody care if your car's a mess for 5 minutes. You can clean that later. You just need to get warm and dry.
Yeah, but it's definitely a lifestyle that takes a bit of getting used to. It's very, very time consuming. I mean, Christmas Day, we opened our presents at 1 o'clock at lunchtime, didn't we?
Yeah, because we went to see all the ponies first and gave them some fruit and veg and that.
So it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is not an issue because we're adults and it's not like we were really bothered. But we opened them at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because we had, and I'm sure that lots of other horse people were in the same position. But, you know, you've got to put the horses, they don't know it's Christmas, so they need fed just the same as they would any other day.
You're not selling this horse husband thing to anybody, to be honest. You're making it sound very depressing. And
no, I'm not
shit.
Trying to, I'm not.
To be honest.
I'm not trying to sell it to anybody. What I'm trying to do is warn other men, be careful.
The men? Why you got to warn men? What about horsey men that have non-horse girlfriends?
I bet there's not many men who have non-horsey girlfriends, is there? How many do you know?
Not many, but there are some out there. There will be.
I'm sure there probably is.
Like, yesterday, for example, we were doing Frank's shelter, and Steve was horrified because I got all the hay was put into a pile, and we couldn't get it to stay on the shovel. And there was poo mixed in it, yeah, and maybe a bit of wee, but I just picked it up with my hands and shoved it in the wheelbarrow. But, like, once you've been around horses for a while, that's common practice. I mean, you do wash your hands before you eat and stuff, but Steve was like, I've never met a woman that will pick shit up with their bare hands.
Yeah, it's definitely a different life, isn't it? But, obviously, you do get some good points out of it in the summer. Not so much in the winter, but obviously, living in this country, especially in the Highlands, we're not going to have great winters, are we? And it's something that we deal with. And I think because we have got the right sort of jackets and wellies and stuff, it does make the job slightly easier. But it's still...
Equidrys. Yeah, best invention ever.
We both have an Equidry, which does help, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed.
But again, because it's a horse jacket, it costs you a bloody fortune because it's got the word horse attached to it.
Harriet doesn't say horse.
No, but it doesn't say horse, but it's horse related and everything horse related. And so, people get the wrong impression as well. People think that because we've got four horses, we've got lots of money.
We would have lots of money if we didn't have the horses.
And it couldn't be further from the truth. We definitely don't have lots of money, do we?
No, because we've got four horses.
Yeah, probably. If we didn't have four horses, we'd probably be slightly better off.
Slightly.
Or massively better off. That's what Sam chooses to do.
I wouldn't be me without a horse.
Yeah, but you could have one horse.
I did have one horse, and then you wanted a horse, and you wouldn't ride my horse, so we ended up with two. And then you wanted to ride my horse, and then he died.
So we've got another one.
So we got another one.
And then another one.
So I just wanted to touch upon how you learned about stuff. And how horrified you were when we were talking about things like the sheath cleaner. Like, you were absolutely horrified that we pay somebody to clean our horses' willies, for example.
Absolutely. I didn't think there'd be a person that would concentrate on cleaning horses' willies. But now I have more of an understanding of it. I know why it gets done. And anybody that's seen Sam's last podcast, it was based on willy cleaning, basically. It was explained why it's done and the need for it to be done and how important it is to be done. But I didn't realise for 1 minute that there was somewhere where you could go and get your horse's willy cleaned or the person would come to you and clean it.
And what about when we had to get Smurf saddle fitted and you had your first experience of a saddle fitter? In the car all the way home, you were like, why can't we just go to the tuck shop and buy a saddle?
Yeah. I didn't have a clue. I thought you just got a horse and you went to the shop and you said, I want a saddle for my horse. And you bought a saddle and you put it on the horse and off you went. But I didn't realise they had to bloody fit the horse. I mean, now it seems stupid why I didn't realise that, because obviously every horse is a different shape, size.
Like we are.
Different breed, like we are. That'd be like Sam trying to wear a size 12 that she is when she was a 20. And it's not going to work, is it?
Thanks for that analogy.
But it's true though, isn't it? Every horse is different. I couldn't put my Highland saddle onto the Thoroughbred or the Warmblood because it just wouldn't fit him. And I can see that, why it wouldn't fit now. But when I first met Sam and she said, we've got to get a saddle fitter, I was like, what for? And she was like, to fit the saddle, which obviously makes sense. I had no idea that that was something that you had to do.
But the rugs came in different sizes.
Well, the rugs, I kind of thought that they might have to be obviously different sizes. The price of rugs as well is just crazy. And you know what? You buy them the most expensive rugs. They look pretty for about 3 hours. Then they go and roll in the mud. Then they go and catch it on the fence. You go up the next morning and it's hanging off them. And you think, why do I bother?
Why did I just spend 300 quid on that rug?
Because that's exactly what Frank did, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We bought him a brand new Lemire rug. Absolutely beautiful rug. Had it on for, 12 hours max, if that. And it was gaping, great big hole in the side.
We did actually manage to get that fixed.
We did, yeah. Huge, huge thank you to Rosshire Rug Wash for that.
Because it's just too expensive just to throw away. And you think, you put a new coat on, yeah? And you go and roll in the mud. Now, I know nowadays that's what horses do, and you can't stop that.
It used to drive you mad though, didn't it?
But I was like, that's like me buying a new Hugo Boss jacket and rolling in the mud with it. You wouldn't think about it. But horses are just stupid, aren't they?
As you can tell, Steve didn't do dirt and is a bit of a clean freak, and he's had to completely reevaluate his lifestyle since having horses.
Yeah, I mean, I spent 3/4 of my life in wellies, but I'm still the kind of person, if I go to the horse in my car, which I don't do very often, my wellies go in a bag in the boot.
I mean, there's many people like that, you know. I bought a pickup for the horses. If I had a car like yours, I would keep it clean, and if I had to go to the horses, I would change my shoes. It's just that I bought a car for the purpose I needed it for, whereas you wanted a midlife crisis car.
Yeah, not to go to the horses in.
So yeah. Anyway, I've got this post on Reddit, right? And I need your opinion on it because it is from the perspective of the horse husband, okay? Would I be the asshole if I told my wife she needs to get rid of her horse if we aren't out of debt by the end of the year?
Initial thoughts on that? No, good on you, son. I don't think it's going to go down very well, but you can try.
The background here is this. Over the past 3 years, we have had 2 children, and over the course of this, we have accumulated now about $10,000 in debt. She got a horse shortly after the first child was born to get back into a hobby she loved before kids. Our estimates on the yearly cost of the horse upkeep is about $9,000 a year. This makes it the single largest expense outside of housing and daycare. We generally live pretty frugally outside of this, and I feel that in order to accommodate this, we've had to cut back on a lot of other discretionary expenses, as well as not really being able to save any money outside of matching employer 401k contributions, which is the same as our retirement, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Would I be the asshole if I told her that we could no longer afford this luxury if we haven't managed to significantly reduce the debt by the end of the year? Edit. It looks like a lot of info requests, if we've talked about this before, have come up repeatedly. It's something of a sore subject at this point. The conversation usually goes, this is our single biggest expense and cutting it would go a long way toward reducing our debt accumulation. And the response is, okay, we'll reevaluate once this or that expense is finished. Childbirth costs, 2 surgeries on our son, 2nd childbirth, etc. It's just being kicked down the road while the debt accumulates. I would normally agree on the discussion, no ultimatum, but in the specific instance, reasoning and debate haven't had an effect. Edit 2. I have read a ton of useful info and alternative solutions. The gist of everything, if I can synthesise all these comments into a brief statement, is I'm right in that the horse isn't worth the financial instability, but presenting it as an ultimatum is not the best course. I'm going to discuss it with her and bring up some of your suggestions, and hopefully we can resolve this to everyone's happiness. She's usually very reasonable and tends to defer to reason in regard to finances, which is why this thing bothers me so much. Hopefully there is something to report later. Edit 3. Initial results look promising. She has a couple of options of boarding it elsewhere for cheaper and potentially some others to lease. I don't know why she waited for this conversation to bring these up, but it looks like she had options in the works already, which is a good sign. We are going to work on reducing costs there and elsewhere to make it more feasible, and hopefully can work towards the year-end credit card debt-free. Obviously, this is not a final result, but a lot of your suggestions helped put this off to a better start than if I had done it without the input. Edit 4, point of clarification. Both of us have been and still are employed full-time through all of this. She was unpaid for the first 3 months of both births, but returned to work right after. This all gives me a bit of resentment for the state of the US medicine and attitudes towards time off for pregnancy, but that's a different post.
Yeah, I think he's probably wasting his time. You're not going to, like we've just discussed, if we didn't have the horses, we'd be relatively well off. But I would never suggest that she didn't have the horses, because she'd rather not have me. So it's not going to work, is it? And I think...
I don't like the way that the OP in this post is referring to the horse as an it. A lot of people that aren't horsey don't understand that they're like our children. They mean as much to us as children do. We love them. And it's not like you can just get rid of them. Like, dogs are the same. They're part of your family.
Yeah, I guess so. But not everybody sees it like that.
No.
So many people will just disregard the horse or the dog or the cat when they've had enough. And you notice in the winter how many horses come up for loan.
And sale.
Or for sale.
Because needs gone ASAP. I hate that. Like, what are you going to do if it doesn't go tomorrow? Shoot it?
Yeah, because people don't want to look after them during the winter. And I understand that, but it's not something I could do. My old boy is, Tommy, he's 28. We got him when he was 22. So he was getting on a bit when we got him, but I couldn't just...
Discard him
because he's old.
And because the winter's hard on you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's hard on him as well. And you can't just say, right, I don't need you anymore. So you still get looked after the same as any of the others, which is obviously a massive task.
One of the top comments on this is, not the asshole. Horses are really expensive and not a necessity, especially if you cannot afford it. As long as you're paying for daycare, I'd say the horse needs to go for now. And following that, which I really don't like this comment, but it says, I know it's a joke, but your comment really hammers it home. There are only two things horse girls love, their horse and daddy's money. Those stories of divorce are not anything to brag about, and it truly shows a disconnect with reality over a dream one has as a child. Should I be responsible adult or just ignore everything and be a full-grown Tina Belcher? Yikes. That person is an absolute asshole, in my opinion, because, again, horses are like children to you. They're part of your family, and it's not about daddy's money or anybody's money. It's about a passion, and anybody that doesn't understand that shouldn't marry or be with somebody that has animals.
And that's exactly what I was saying earlier. You just got to, if you meet a woman or you meet a man that's got horses, then you have to kind of realise that before you get in too deep, because you're not going to get them taken away from them. They're just going to get more. We're not getting any more, are we, Sam?
We're not getting any more horses, no. Four's more than enough. More than enough. Here's another post for you, Steve. I need your initial reactions on this. And you have experience in this. Horse has to be put down. How do I console my wife? Hi all, first time poster here. Me and my wife have been together since 2013. She has owned her horse Marmaduke since he was born in 2003. We recently found out he has naviculitis. We have tried to sort this, but it has come to the point that nothing will give him pain relief. So we have decided that it's time to say goodbye. Now, I am an animal lover and I do love the horse. However, I do not have the same kind of bond with him that my wife does. Does anybody have any advice? I just don't want to say or do the wrong thing.
Well, obviously, we've had personal experience of that. We've been through it, we've done it. How did I console Sam? Initially, I tried to talk her out of it because I thought as long as she still had the horse, then she wouldn't grieve. But then obviously we came to the conclusion that it had to be done, and we went through with it. We picked a date, we stuck to it at the end of the summer, September. And right up until the time, I thought Sam would probably change her mind, but she didn't. She stuck to it. And I think...
I had to for Smurf's sake, not for anybody else's, for his sake.
And then when the day arrived, we went down and we spent some time with him before the vet arrived. And to be honest, it probably hit me more on the day than it did Sam.
I had known this was coming for a long time before it did. And as a responsible horse owner, I had to do the right thing by Smurf, which we've touched upon in a previous episode. And yeah, it was a difficult decision. And I spent a year grieving for him before he was even put to sleep. And, you know, there isn't a day goes by that I don't wish that he was still here. Every single day that horse crosses my mind. He's always going to be part of my life. He was for 14 years, but Steve was amazing. Like, to begin with, you know, the arguments that we had about putting him to sleep and how it was a bad idea and this, that and the other. And, you know, I didn't want to put him to sleep either. I did not want to put Smurf to sleep. I wanted him to live forever, but that's not possible. It was awful because I had to make a decision for Smurf that I didn't want to make, but at least he got to die in dignity. And you did not agree with me on that to begin with at all, did you? You were so against it, but I think you've seen him a couple of times struggling and realised that actually it was the best thing for him.
There was times where I went down and Sam wasn't there. I was seen to the horses and normally Smurf would run down to the gate. He'd do a little welcome, a little rear or something, and that just stopped. He was walking down with his head almost on the ground. He wasn't...
Not every day, but...
Not every day, but some days he just thought, you're ready. And we don't regret our decision because it was the right decision.
It was difficult because we were both at different stages with dealing with it. But Steve was really good at, you know, making me feel okay about it and reassuring me. And despite the arguments to begin with, you know, you did console me. And I was difficult because I didn't want you in my bubble of grief to begin with, did I? I pushed you away and I dealt with it myself, but... In time, I opened up about it, we talked about it, we dealt with it together, didn't we? And we've got a little plaque to put up.
Yeah, we had to. And if anybody finds herself in a similar position, then you just do what's right for the horse, not for yourself.
Never ever turn around and say to your wife, it's just a horse, get over it.
No.
Because I've had that from an ex. And
it's something that we're going to have to face again in the future. I mean, we've got other horses and they don't live forever.
And, you know, we've got dogs and we've got cats, so, you know, we're going to face it with them as well.
But it's just part of life, isn't it?
I mean, I
lost my best friend this year due to an illness. And he was only 61 and he had an illness. He was in and out of hospital, ended up in a hospice. I seen him 2 weeks before he died because he lived quite a long way away. So it was like a 7-hour drive to go and visit him. Obviously, 14-hour drive by the time I got back again. And he said to me, the last thing he said to me was, don't be sad when I die. Because he knew he was going to die. He knew that. I remembered that at his funeral because I'd done a eulogy at his funeral. And it was tough. It's life, you know. That's what happens.
It is. And, you know, the advice to this OP is, so long as you understand that the horse... whether it's a horse, a dog, a cat, a person, a friend, whoever, that they meant a lot to your wife and you can be supportive.
Absolutely, yeah. Even if you're not a horse husband or a non-horsey husband and you've got a wife or a girlfriend who has a horse and the horse is sick, then, like Sam says, never say it's just a horse.
Even if you don't like the horse. You know, at the end of the day, that horse is something that your girlfriend or partner loves and thinks a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got to be there for them through the when they're well or when they're not well. And it's just something that you've got to support them with.
This is going to be an interesting one. I want your opinion on.
Here we go.
My wife was caught cheating. However, it's her horse that may break us up.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Well, was she cheating with the horse?
No. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, I caught my wife texting with another guy. This has been going on for at least a month. Oddly enough, they never actually fucked. However, they were making plans. Heck, maybe they did fuck. She bought all new underwear and that was total whatever. I have no idea what DTF means, but we'll keep going. So she has been living with her parents for the past 2 weeks and we are going to go to couples counselling. Now, the only reason she has given me regarding what she is unhappy about is that I don't like her hobbies. Her hobbies are CrossFit and riding a horse. She bought the horse in the summer without consulting me. It caused a fight. She agreed she would get a second job bartending once a week to pay for it. This means on top of a 40-hour work week, she has to work weekend nights at a bar, and then the rest of the time she is at the gym or riding her horse. So I never really see her. She is sore or tired when I do. This, her job bartending, doesn't really cover the whole cost of the horse. Also, she met the guy at the bar, so I'd like that to end. In fact, I'd like her to get rid of the horse as well. I can't think of a way to say this that doesn't sound like it's the horse or me, lady. So any idea how I do that? Other background info, she broke her back riding 2 years ago. She cracked a rib riding recently, and no, I don't want to get into horseback riding with her.
Well, I would say if she's been sleeping with somebody else, the horse isn't really the problem, is it?
And that is the top comment. The horse is the least of your worries.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried too much about the horse. I'd be more worried about the person she was sleeping with at the bar. I'd be more like, stop that rather than get rid of the horse. I mean, if she spent more time with the horse, she'd have less time with the guy, wouldn't she?
Fair point. I don't really understand how anybody who has horses has time to cheat.
That's true.
Because I don't even have time to speak to other people some days. And I only speak to you because I see you when I come home.
Or at the horses in the worries.
Horses in your worries.
I can't go for a date anymore because all my clothes include wellies.
I'll have mud on them.
I'll have mud on them,
and
yeah.
And stink horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the way he's a bit like it's me or the horse. Because I could guarantee if Steve said that to me, he'd be fucking be gone. Bye.
I wouldn't even try it. I come below the cat. Never mind the horse. Well, maybe the dog.
Right. You know, like, I used to do bartending to pay for my horse. But you do what you do to pay for your horse and what you look. So I don't really think the bartending job's the issue either. I mean, yes, she did meet this guy through the bartending, but surely there's obviously an issue in your relationship and your not understanding her by the sounds of this post, and understanding that she loves to go to the gym and she loves to ride a horse and loves having a horse. And it doesn't sound like you're very accepting of that, the OP in this. So that's why she's cheated.
Because we don't know the people's, she maybe doesn't like her husband anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that as well. But why the fuck did you marry him then, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's a bit... He needs to stop worrying about the horse.
Yeah, the horse is the least of the worries.
The horse is the least of his worries, yeah. I think I'll reply to that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell him not to be silly.
Another comment here. Your relationship was in trouble way before that horse came into your lives. If your wife at all an experienced horsewoman, she would have been well aware of the financial costs. However, somewhere along the line, something happened between you two that made her unwilling to have a discussion with you, that she went behind your back. If you are at all interested in saving your relationship, for the love of God, do not tell her it's me or the horse. Find a reputable couples counsellor before either of you destroy your marriage even more. After you guys are willing to talk and compromise, there are things to do with the horse, such as getting a leasee or having it used in lesson programmes or selling it, but give her time to rise and take lessons. If you're no longer invested in this marriage, just tell her. No need to bring up the horse. There's enough baggage between you two to bring up even more issues.
Yeah, that's probably a decent answer.
And the other thing is, like he touched upon in that post, that the wife bought a horse and didn't even tell him she'd bought it. Now,
Didn't you do the same?
I have done the same.
Go on, where are you going to go from this?
Now, okay, I could have come home and said to you, I've bought a horse, and you wouldn't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? Or I want to buy a horse, and we would have had a discussion about it, and I don't think you'd have cared one bit, would you?
Probably not.
But I've done it twice now, haven't I? First, I bought Frank, and then I dragged him down to get Frank.
Yeah, yeah, of course, I forgot about Frank. It wasn't Frank I was talking about.
What was it?
I forgot about Frank, yeah.
Yeah, we I kind of got Frank and told Steve on the way home. Didn't
You did, aye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we had to hire a lorry to bring him home.
Yeah.
Because he was a knob.
Oh, he's not a knob. Be nice to Frank.
He was a knob.
I bought you a horse Father's Day, didn't I? It was getting harder and harder. It was meant to be for your birthday, but it was getting harder and harder to keep the secret. So I gave him to you as a Father's Day present, and you thought I was pregnant.
Yeah, there's a little story behind that. So we're lying in bed on Father's Day, and Sam says, "I've got you a present." So she gives me an envelope, and inside was a picture. Initially, I thought it was going to be a scan picture of a baby.
Anybody that knows me knows that I'm never having children, so this is why this is so funny.
I carefully opened the envelope to find the picture of Wallace. Just newborn at the time on the picture, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was just a few days old on the picture, wasn't he?
He was.
So the shock was more of a relief than a shock, because I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be the oldest dad at the school. People will be thinking I'm picking up my grandchild. And it was Wallace. And that was several months before we were able to collect him, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Because we didn't get him home till he was 6 months.
And you looked at me in complete disbelief and went, "You're going to give birth to a horse?" And I was like, absolutely not.
I was joking at that point. So it was a shock, but not as big a shocker than it would have been if she was pregnant, because that would have been worse.
Well, I mean, your daughter, Gemma, she had a baby, didn't she? Surprise baby. Two surprise babies.
Yes. Didn't know she was pregnant.
Either time. She went through two full pregnancies and didn't know she was pregnant both occasions.
Don't you do that.
No. Nope. No children. None for me. I've got dogs and horses. That's more than enough.
And when we talk about that morning when you gave me it, it seems like a long time ago. But then when you think about it, it was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
On Father's Day this year, it'll be nearly 3 years, won't it? Because Wallace is two, and it was 6 months. He was 6 months when we got him.
No, so it was 18 months, because it can't be more than Wallace has been alive. Can't be 3 years ago. It
must be 2 years ago, yeah.
Because he's not two yet.
He's not two yet, no. So it's 2 years ago.
Maths, dear, maths.
Maths.
I meant to be the bad at maths.
So it's 2 years ago that Wallace... I bet it was 6 months before we got him, and he's two now, so it was 2 years ago, yeah.
Well done. You're getting there.
This Monjaro's fucked my head up. Yeah, so it was 2 years ago, but Sam has got two horses without me knowing, but there won't be a third.
And that, well, then Boddick wasn't really discussed much either, was he?
Boddick was slightly more discussed, because we talked about...
It was in the pipeline. We'd kind of had discussions with Boddick's owner and together about it, but we'd never kind of set a date. And then I just said, "Oh, I'm bringing the horse back with me from the Isle of Lewis," didn't I? Like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And he just came back in the middle of the night, bless him.
But he's the one that's probably doing the most at the moment.
He is, yeah. He's a good boy. I love him.
Yeah, although he can have his moments as well. But he's...
Hey, look at my finger, guys. See? Don't know where you can see that, but that is rope burn.
He's got a bad habit of just running away when you're leading him. He just goes for a little run around
he's
the yard.
He's very naughty doing that.
But he doesn't do it very often.
He gave the physios a good laugh anyway the other week. He did it about six times throughout the entire visit and ran into a car and tried to jump a fence. He's ginger, so we'll let him off.
So where do we go now, Sam? What's next?
I'm just having a look. Am I the arsehole for not wanting to see the horse that I bought for my wife?
No, not really. Your wife wants a horse and she bought a horse. Then that's for her. If you don't want to see it, then that's your choice.
I'm 24 male and I bought my wife, 22 female, a horse a few months ago since she has wanted one her entire life. I don't particularly like horses. However, I do pay for everything the horse needs and support my wife with her passion. I just don't see why she needs to make a big deal of me not being passionate about her passion. I do support her and everything she does, but I do not share her love and passion for horses, even our horse. I do visit the horse from time to time, but when I don't, she makes faces at me and keeps saying that I should be passionate about her passion too.
No, I don't think he's doing anything wrong. He bought her the horse because she wanted one. That's fair enough. If he doesn't want anything to do with it, then that's his choice. It's hard not to. I mean, if I said to you, "I'm having nothing more to do with the horses," it would be difficult because you're away. Mm-hmm. 2-3 nights a week. So obviously I do the horses after my job or before my job or both, or and weekends. I mean, this week, for example, you're away
4 days.
4 days next week. So I'll be doing the horses as well as my job. So I couldn't really say that I'm going to have nothing to do with the horses. But then I do ride as well.
You say often enough to me that I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. Like, especially when you were knee-deep in mud yesterday, shoveling shit out the shelter, you were going, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you.
I wouldn't be. I'd be sat at home with Netflix on and the fire and a can of beer.
When have you ever drunk in the house?
I had two last night.
Yeah, but like, really?
No, I'm not. I don't really drink an awful lot. But I wouldn't be knee-deep in mud in my wellies. I'd have my trainers on and my tracksuit on. If you're a horse husband...
You already had the interest before we kind of got together, and I just had horses, so it was easy.
Yeah, I was never really a horse person. I used to get horse riding. I used to get riding lessons. But it's a bit different having a riding lesson, because you turn up, the horse is ready for you. You go and get it. You ride it for half an hour, and then somebody takes it back to the stable. You don't have to do the looking after it. I mean, it's a long time ago, because I might show my age now, but my riding lessons were £6. I don't suppose you get a riding lesson. Well, I'm getting riding lessons now, and it's a lot more than £6. I'm getting one-to-one lessons, whereas before it was...
In a group,
and you probably only got concentrated on for a few minutes of the lesson because they had lots of other people in the lesson.
So, do you think this guy's the asshole?
Which, the guy we just spoken about? No, I don't think he is. I think he's quite right. If he's bought the horse, he doesn't have it.
And he does. He pays all the bills as well.
And he pays all the bills.
Gotta take a leaf out of his book.
No, the bills are too much. I'll buy the bucket.
Anyway, top comment on this is, I think, not the arsehole, but I would go and see her horse. It isn't about the horse. It is about your wife. She's obviously proud of it, and it is something that excites her. I'm sure that you have hobbies too. Not sure about you, but I really like, not expect, but like, when my wife shows interest in the things that I like. I'd be willing to at least go and see her horse. And that's a fair point. So the next thing I found on Reddit is a question that was asked on a poll, and some of the answers are quite funny, but we're going to put the question to you first. And it says, for years I have heard, never date a horse girl, they are crazy, but never had any specific as to why. So can you tell me?
Yes, I can tell you. Anybody wants to know why horse girls are crazy, log in to Sam's business page on Facebook. It's called Highland Equine Transport. And watch the video from yesterday, and you'll see why horse girls are crazy.
The video that I've just posted.
Yes.
Which I will include a link to in the comments, and you can check it out on Highland Equine Transport. So, yeah, have a look at that.
And you'll see the answer is a definite yes. Horse girls are crazy. They're the only people who will go out in a field, freezing cold, walk through mud, not complain, come home and say they're cold.
Sat in front of the fire in your pyjamas.
And complain you're cold, but you don't complain at the horse's field.
What did you say to me about Frank? What? So a year ago, and everyone's already heard this story, about a year ago in September last year, Frank decided to deck me big style, and I hit the roof of my lorry and then the deck. And I limped back up the road with Frank when I caught him and got back on and made him go around the block. And you were not happy about that.
No, because most people would have just put him back in the field and said, leave you for another day.
No, but you can't at that point.
I could have. He'd have been going to Tesco's.
Oh, poor Frank.
He'd have been burgers.
As a woman who owns a horse... This is not me at all. I have other interests and hobbies besides riding. I don't watch everything horses, nor would I watch The Witcher to see the horse. I would watch it to drool over Henry Cavill. My Insta has other pics, and I have zero horse posters in my house and no horse dildos, in case anyone was wondering. Oh my God, this is like taking another turn already. We already talked about horse dildos on the last podcast. Yeah, we're going to talk about, very briefly, men and their... perception of horse women. So there's a fantastic meme on Facebook of a woman dressed up in long riding boots, white jodhpurs, with a whip, looking a bit sexy, and a jacket on, looking all smart. But that's not the reality, is it, Steve?
No. That's what non-horsemen think. Or we'll go to a riding school, or we'll go to a livery yard, and there'll be lots of sexy women in jodhpurs. But in reality, what you get is lots of women in dirty wellies, covered in hay and straw, and smell.
Generally of horse piss.
You only see them in the jodhpurs and stuff when they're at the shows and they're looking all smart. It's a bit like women when they go out on a night out. They look all sexy when they first go out.
And I know where this is going.
By the end of the night, they just look a state.
Okay, that did not go where I thought it was going to go.
What did you think I was going to say?
Then you wake up next to her in the morning and have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, looks like your granny.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's just the same. It's just an image that you have in your head, but in reality.
This is a good comment, and it says, yep, when you date a horse girl, you are immediately third on her priority list. One is the horse, and two is daddy's money. Now, I don't agree with number two, but number one, 100%.
Absolutely. But the issue I've got is we've got four horses, so that puts me to number five. Then we've got the dog, and most people know Willow because she's Van Dog and she goes everywhere. So that puts me down to number six. And then there's a cat, but I think I'm probably slightly above the cat. I'm probably 5.5. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. I don't know. You get the piss taken out of you for your famous cat comment, don't you? I might just add that video clip to the end of this video, this podcast.
Yes, I do get the piss taken out of that. Because I made this video saying if that cat's not fucking gone, I won't be home. Because he was a twat. He was just a nightmare.
And now everyone at work asks you if you've still got your cat.
Yeah. But to be fair, he did turn a corner and he started to behave a little bit better. But he was a little shit when we first got him, wasn't he?
So here's another one from Reddit for you, Steve. What happened to my wife? Since she got her own horse, I see her less and less. And when we do have time, all I hear about is horses and the people she knows from the stable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Initial thoughts.
Well, that is true, because horse people spend a lot of time with other horse people. What annoys me most about it is if you go to the horses, most horse girls just spend lots of time talking about horses rather than just do what they need to do. If it was a group of men at a livery yard, they would go, they would say good morning, good afternoon, you'd do the jobs, you'd ride, and you go home. But women make an hour job into 3 hours.
No, I have to intervene here and say you are the world's best person for talking shite to other people. You could have a conversation with a carrier bag in Tesco's.
Yeah, because it's nice to talk, but I still like to get
and like the other day we were at the yard, our friends turned up just as we were leaving, and you were like, oh, I've got to go and see them, I haven't seen them for a while, I'll just go and have a quick crack to them. And I was like, yeah, but I need to go.
Yeah, but I can go and have a quick conversation. Whereas you go into like hours.
Who's with me, guys? Men are worse gossips than us women by miles. Anyway, back to the post. I guess that this is a case of I didn't know what I was getting myself into. A bit of background. About a year and a half ago, I got her a gift certificate for 4 riding lessons at a stable that we drive by on our way to work for her birthday. She had mentioned a few times how she would like to ride again because she had enjoyed it so much as a girl. She was thrilled and I was happy that I had figured out a great gift. Once the gift certificate was used up, she continued with lessons and was going to the stable once or twice a week, no problem. We still had our life and I enjoyed going with her from time to time to see the horses and watch her ride. The Saturdays also gave me some time to work in the yard and get some things done around the house. This continued for a few months until she rode in her first tournament. The tournament was a fairly small affair, mostly put on for the learners, but it was a real boost to her self-esteem. We had a wonderful day, and as a coincidence happened when we had visitors from the States as a bonus. At that point, I started to hear about how she and the stable owner were discussing a shared lease for one of the school horses. I'm not sure if this is the correct term in English, as we live in Germany and the equestrian terminology is difficult for me to translate. this horse is a good horse, but he was getting a bit frisky with the younger girls and had been nipping at them. The stable owner could see that he needed more of a contact person and be out of the daily school slash training sessions, at least for a time. Before I knew what was going on, the idea of sharing Elise with one or two others, she had taken the horse on completely. Please be aware that she did ask me, and the motivation was to help the horse, not just that she wanted her own horse. She has been going to the stable every day since to work with him, and the difference is really something to see. He has become a really friendly, gentle horse, no more nipping and stomping, a real pleasure to be around and work with. The current situation. Since the stable is close to our work, she takes a long lunch break to ride and work with a horse. This means that she has to work an hour or two longer every day, depending on how long she was at the stable midday. She also goes to the stable on Saturday and Sunday. Another horse has a health issue and she is helping with his therapy as well. To defray the cost of upkeep and lessons, she is also tutoring the stable owner's children. She has made friends and enjoys her time at the stable. I can see and feel that being at the stable and working with the animals and people there makes her happy. I try very hard to be supportive, or at least neutral, but because I am alone more and more often, I'm becoming lonely. When the loneliness and frustration build, I have said a couple of negative things and she completely freaks out. When she is not at the stable, she only talks about the stable and what her horse did, what someone else's horse did, what one of the horse friends did, said, etc. This has gotten so bad that friends and family have asked me about it. Questions. Since this is our horses, I'd guess that most people here are more in my wife's situation, but any suggestions on how I can deal with this? Is this normal? And have I been replaced by a horse? P.S. I suspect that horses have some sort of telepathic mind control that affects female humans primarily.
Well, the easy answer to that is, yes, you have been replaced by a horse. And you've only got yourself to blame, because there was no way she was going to have 4 riding lessons and then walk away. It was always going to lead to getting a horse. So my advice to anybody else who's thinking about doing that is buy her a hamster.
Hamsters aren't as much fun.
Yes, but they live in the house and there's no mud.
I bet they shite and they smell.
So honest answer to that gentleman is yes.
You've been replaced by a horse.
You've been replaced by a horse.
Or, you know, he could always do what you did and decide that you wanted your own pony so you could come riding with me.
They know what they say, if you can't beat them, join them.
But it hasn't really worked out for us because we don't ride together, ever, because we're too busy doing yard jobs and working to keep the horses.
We used to ride together.
Well, we still could. We could still take Frank and Boddick, but...
We've tried that.
You're not keen?
No, because he went too fast. And I spent the whole time shouting, make him walk. Make him walk.
Yes, I apologise to the community here at Dawes for that day. And all they could hear was Steve going, make him walk. And me going, neck strap, heels down.
Yeah, but we dunked 10K in like seconds.
It was a bit more than seconds.
It was meant to be a gentle stroll.
Frank was a bit fresh. It was his first ever outing, so we expected him to be a bit silly. He did nearly launch me in the car park.
Bit fresh, that's some words.
That is the terminology that us horse people use to describe a horse that's a bit frisky.
I'd say fucking mental. So we did ride together. We used to ride together a bit more.
We still could, you just need to get on Boddick.
Yeah, we could still ride together when the weather's better and there's no mud.
I will quickly show you guys just now a picture that was sent to me about 5 minutes ago of Frank at the yard currently talking about mud. Steve was not impressed.
Well, it just goes back to what I was saying before. You buy them all these expensive things and they go and run in the mud, as you will see.
Husband won't let me have a horse.
Good man.
4 months ago, my husband and I bought a house with 4 acres that used to be owned by horse owners. So it also has an old rundown barn. We were going to just tear the barn down and fix the yard up to our liking. But I've always wanted a horse. I just love them and have a few people who I know have had them and been around them a bit. At first, it wasn't in my mind mainly because my husband made it clear that we're not ever having a horse. But over time, I just can't help but want to buy a horse. So I've been trying to talk him into possibly having a horse or two. His reply was always no. I cannot do a thing to get him to change his mind. He keeps saying that if I get one, I'll soon have 5, then 10. And he also says he doesn't want to spend money on them, nor losing me to the horse. His grandparents used to own horses and they are never available for anything and are always broke. And his good friends have horses and he barely sees these friends because of the horse thing. So he's using these as reasons for us not having a horse. I feel like I'd have much more luck talking to a wall than my husband. To make things worse, my husband plans on tearing down the barn soon, as we originally planned. Is there anything I can do to change his mind? Edit, I have promised him that he will not have to pay a penny for anything related to the horse and that he'll not lose me to the horse and everything, as those are his biggest fear, yet he doesn't believe me.
What's my thoughts on that? He's probably fighting a losing battle, because if he wants happy life, happy wife. So he probably just best giving in, because she'll probably just go and get it anyway.
I mean, she could divorce you and go and buy a horse.
And then so, if he knocks the barn down and then she still gets a horse, he still needs somewhere to put it.
So he'll have to rebuild the barn.
It'd be better just giving in, but it's a hard one. Or make her clear that if she gets a horse, it's down to her. And you're having nothing to do with it. But then that never works as well. So it's a difficult one.
But you are not selling the equestrian husband line. You've complained about it a lot today.
Yeah, it was never my intention to sell it, the horsey life, because I've been honest. No, it's not all bad, because at most horse shows there's a burger van. And you get beef burgers and tea and stuff.
And there's often alcohol, a beer tent. At the bigger shows.
Yes, there's often a beer tent. I know I've probably portrayed it in a bad light, but it's a lifestyle.
How rewarding is it though when you get to the end of a ride and you think, do you know what, I really did well there and I really enjoyed that?
Oh, absolutely.
Or Wallace progresses or something.
There is some really high moments. You know, if you get to first place or second or a third, or no matter what, or even if you don't get placed, but you still enjoy it.
Yeah, like me taking Frank out, just getting him out and doing it, whether I was placed or not, that was just such a massive achievement for me and for him.
But you spend probably, what, 3 months of the year doing shows, but there's another 9 months of the year that you're just doing the day-to-day mundane.
Oh, right, guys, I think that's it from us today. So can I remind you all to like and subscribe? And check out Highland Equine Transport on Facebook and on Instagram if you would like to see me dressed up as a carrot and dancing in my lorry. That is for this year's loading training promotion. So get yourself over to have a little look at that. It is the perfect time here to be training the youngsters to load and travel. And well, any horse that's got any issues as well. It's this time of year, ready for show season. Let's get them going and out and about.
Right, guys, thank you for watching. Wish you a happy new year again. And we will see you all next month.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys. Like and subscribe. Happy new year.